Life is a journey. What's your story? Radio St. Pete Insider is proud to welcome really one of the most important writers, poets, and a philanthropist who has created Keep St. Pete Lit way before the word got out. Maureen, welcome. Maureen McDowell, St. Pete, a direct descendant of Kearney's Carpenters and Fishermen.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. What an introduction.
Well, tell us a little bit. You do so many things. Let's start with Keep St. Pete Lit. Tell us a little bit about this wonderful 501(c)(3) organization that was founded in 2013.
Keep St. Pete Lit started with the desire to get my needs met as a reader and writer in my city. I say my city because I'm born and raised here, and so is my mother, and my family came in the 20s, so I feel like it's my city. And, you know, the art scene in St. Petersburg has grown dramatically in the last 10 years, and at the time of the founding of Keep St. Pete Lit, we had our staples of art. We had the Morian, the MFA, but there was a couple open mics going on, and I just wasn't getting my needs met. So I was wild and crazy enough to say, let's start a 501(c)(3) with no nonprofit experience, no money, no access to money, but it would be fun. And here we are it'll be our 11th year in August.
What are some of the events that you do with Keep St. Pete Lit and some of the classes that you do?
So we right now are not super event heavy. Post-COVID, I kind of had a come to Jesus moment, both personally and also financially with the organization. So we kind of backed off on events, but we do have a poetry open mic at the Studio 620, which is normally the last Wednesday of the month. We're not doing it in April, but there is tons of events going on with the City of Writers Poetry Festival that Gloria Munoz has curated with the City of St. Pete, and we're the fiscal sponsor for that. We also have a book club at Art Lofts in Florida Craft Art once a month, too, and then other pop-up events as they come along, but yeah.
Talk to us about your role in banned books. I know that you've been very active in getting your voice heard.
So the American Stage reached out to us about partnering on a banned book library in their main lobby, and then they connected with Tombolo Books about having people purchase banned books that were directly on our website that people can get, and then we transfer them to the library. We also have partnered with Nomad Art Bus in the Juvenile Justice Studio that they have in the Pinellas Juvenile Justice Center about creating a banned book library for them, too. It's really, but also my pride and joy is our Word book boxes, which are in 5 locations in South St. Pete, where we get brand new, culturally diverse kids' books. 98% are for Black and brown children. And they're free. They're different than little free libraries. Those are like give a book, take a book. But these are books that we buy due to grant funding and support from our community. I go in at pretty much every 2 weeks, refill them. They're at Avera Health Center. They're at Jet Jackson Recreation Center, Campbell Park Recreation Center, Starling School, which is a preschool, and also at St. Pete Fight Club. And the kids can get the books, and we fill them full of all the books that our government doesn't want us to have in there. So I take great pride in like going in and putting those books in those book boxes, and they're always empty.
I love that. I love that. And you know, really, you believe wholeheartedly in the power of literature to change the world. Tell me about some of the poetry and books that you've read that have changed your world and helped you along on your journey, not just to be an artist and a performing artist, dance, spoken word, etc., but you also got a certificate in arts and culture strategy from the University of Pennsylvania while you were raising a child and doing Keep St. Pete Lit. So tell me a little bit about your influences.
Well, I would say my favorite book of all time is A Gift from the Sea by Anne Morrow Lindbergh. I give that to my dear friend Janae Priebe of Shine Mural Fest. She's one of my besties. She had a birthday recently, and I always mail that book to my women friends. My father turned me onto that book. The Mists of Avalon was one that really like got me into getting in touch with my intuitive powers as a woman. And I love Jack Gilbert's poetry. He lived in Europe. He won the Yale Young Poetry Prize and then like disappeared for 10 years. And then he would resurface and put out a book, and then he'd disappear again, and then he'd resurface. And to me, he really encapsulates what a poet is about. Lawrence Ferlinghetti says that poets are the divine legislators of the world. So I think being too in the world as a poet, for some people it's great, but for me, I like the idea of kind of staying wild and then writing about it.
So do you actually, I was going to ask you, you know, I'm interested in creative spaces mm-hmm. and the talismans and things. Margo Hammond and I have talked about that she now is in an empty room with just a pen and paper. Tell us a little bit about your creative space and where you like to write.
Well, my creative space currently is in ultimate disarray and chaos because I'm moving soon and I've lived in the same apartment, thankfully, in Roser Park for the last 7 years. And we're getting ready to move now further south in quieter South St. Pete, near Kokeinikee. And I will have a writing room that overlooks the water. But I luckily have met a wonderful man and we're engaged. My child's about to graduate, so we're all moving in together. And he's a visual artist, and so is my child. So I see this space being a really creative incubator for all of us.
And I believe your child designed the cover of your book?
Yes, he did. He's about to graduate from Pinellas PCCA, the art program at Gibbs. And he went through all the art magnets, Perkins Elementary and then to John Hopkins Middle. So he is 100% a project of Keep St.'s, you know, I was going to say Keep St. Pete, but Keep St. Pete's art scene. He grew up in it.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I always say it's the three amigas, but it's really the six amigas. There's a group of women here that you are central to as a poet, writer, speaker, and a founder of Keep St. Pete Leap. Tracy Kennard, who's now with the city. Tell me the rest.
Janae Preby, as I mentioned, with Shine Mural Fest. Mm-hmm. Also, Helen French, who is at the Palladium now. And actually, a shout-out for Helen. Beacon St. Pete is this Friday. Beacon at the Palladium, which is the annual dance performance that they do at the Palladium. Please get your tickets. It's at 8 p.m. on Friday night.
Yes, we just did it. And go to audio blogs on RadioSt.Pete.com, and you will hear Helen in her own voice sharing the power of dance. And
also, I just had lunch with her. Robin O'Dell is one of our dear friends, and she is the curatorial director at FMOPA, Florida Museum of Photographic Arts. And I want to say a shout out to my dear friend Olga, who founded Keep St. Pete Local. She's another one of my sisterhoods.
You tell us a little bit about how you feel about the St. Pete, the welcoming community. We had Girls Rocks here today, Jesse Miller,
yep.
And we talked about the collaborative power of women here.
Yeah.
Share a little bit your insight into that here.
Well, I want to do also a shout out to Carrie Jadis, who's a wonderful visual arts painter, and she's another one of my sisters. That was the fun part about helping to grow the art scene. We were all around the same age, you know, 40s, 50s, some in the 30s, but it was like we were all coming into our divine feminine power, and we all collaborated. The whole city collaborated, and it was really a magical time. It still is. I mean, there's a lot of changes going on with all the building. I do feel we're kind of in that transition point where it's been rough since COVID, but I'm starting to see, like, okay, we didn't curate the city necessarily. We allowed a building, all the names have art in it. There's not a large support system for the art community. There are people that are leaving. My child is afraid that he'll be priced out. It's very tricky in a lot of ways, but I am seeing hearing through the grapevine that the city is wanting to be more involved. Tracy is definitely helping along with Celeste Davis to grow the art fund. It just happened really, really fast, the growth of this city. I mean, I grew up here and you didn't go downtown unless you went to go to a punk rock show at Janus. And then you
Did
turned
you?
Around. Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
And I don't see you as a punk rocker, but I can see it now.
I am. I think I need to do a TED Talk about why being a punk rocker helped me be who I am today.
I think a podcast on Radio St. Pete, that would be
Maybe.
Terrific.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I want to talk a little bit about, wow, what publications. First of all, poetry books, Mending the Nets, coming in 2025, Feast out in 2021, Longing for the Deep End, 2011, Exploring My Options, 2006, and then publications. I know that you've got Grandmother's Curtains coming, an anthology of Florida poets in 2024. Tell us a little bit about this journey to be published and to be a poet, and I'm so glad you're taking time to write now for you.
Thank you. The first two books came out under Summerfolk Press, which I had founded with my ex-husband because I wanted to keep creative control, and I didn't really... The indie art scene or indie poetry writing scene wasn't really big in that time, and I as a punk rocker, I was like, let me create my own narrative. And then I left my marriage actually January 2013 and then started Keep St. Pete Lit that summer. As I say, all the energy I was putting into that marriage went into the nonprofit. My child was about seven. And then, so the time limit, the time between the second book was 2011 to 2021 was, you know, raising a child and recovering from my marriage and also growing Keep St. Pete Lit. But this next book, there won't be as much of a time lapse. I'm actually working on Mending the Nets is kind of a verse memoir in verse. And then I have a book called Dear Pops, which is to my father.
Tell us a little bit about that.
My father passed away of pancreatic cancer in the end of August, and he had been diagnosed 15 months prior. I truly believe he lived as long as he did because he's a reader. He kind of disappeared out of his... He always kind of disappeared into books. And once he was dying, Hurricane Idalia was roaring towards the coast of Florida, and how very appropriate for him because his life was a hurricane in a lot of ways. And I just started writing as a way to kind of as deal with my grief. I put a Facebook post out, Dear Pops. You know, I know your life was a hurricane in many ways, but there's a hurricane roaring towards us. Can you keep this away? Because you're in a morphine haze, but we have to deal with this. We can't move you. And I just started writing to him, and now I'm about 30,000 words into it. And it's really helped me with grieving and healing, but also about the creative process and being an artist. And I have one of my very, very best friends. She doesn't live here. Her mother passed away within this week. And now I would hope this book could maybe help people, but that's not why we write. We write because, at least for me, I write because I need to get something off my chest or process something in my own life.
And you know, I think that writing is, you know, they talk about journaling. They talk about... blog posts, but it's the process of writing. It's the sitting down. Do you write by hand or do you use the computer? What is your favorite mode?
So I write 3 pages at least in my journal every day through the morning pages of Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. That's how it started. I now have a journal for at my desk, but I also have a little journal that fits into my bag. So if I'm out and about, I can stop and write. And poems usually grow out of that. My dad's book, Mending the Nets, both Mending the Nets and Dear Pops, which those were voice to text, believe it or not. So if I'm out and about and I'll just get a line, I just go and put it right into my phone, and that helps.
I love that.
So my writing process has evolved, and when it starts to happen, I get a little like, what is this? But I know now to ride the wave.
So I love the fact that we were talking about creative couples. We've got Paul and Eugenie. We had Dory and Ron in today, and you and your fiance. And where can we see his art?
Well, actually, it was at the Study St. Pete. He had an art exhibit up, which we're taking down today. But he has an art studio in Artmosphere, which is in South St. Pete, which is a new art space that's been there for about a year. It's located not far. It's like the last street before the end of the art enclave for Old Southeast. So that's where his art studio. His name is Oliver Jackson Jr.
Oliver Jackson
and
Jr.
And his studio is called Blackjack Studios, Blaque.
We will look forward to having him on Radio St. Pete. Maureen, before we go, tell us a little bit about Feast. It's a book about transformation, redemption, loss, and hope.
Yeah, it was a lot of the book was written as a way to kind of heal from my marriage. My marriage ended due to alcoholism. My ex-husband was homeless for 7 years after. A lot of people don't that I my whole life got recreated in the last 10 years since I left that marriage. A lot of my very, very, very best friends that I've been friends with people, some of them coming on a decade, have never even met him. So it was a way to process. We had met when I was 15. And I had transferred from Bogasiega High School to Seminole High School. And it was the first period class, and it was the first art class I'd ever taken. And he was there, and it was like love at first sight. And so it was like a 20-year relationship. He was also an artist. And it was a lot to get over to watch somebody that you love just descend into addiction. But I was wired for it. My father died of his pancreatic cancer. It was directly related to his alcoholism. But now I am no longer trauma bonding, as you would say, and have a very healthy relationship and raised my child around a lot of healthy people in a lovely village. So that's what that book's about in a lot of ways. And also being a mother and a creative. And
you know, living life better. I mean,
it's always the goal.
It's always the goal, but pain, through pain comes poetry.
Yeah, and growth. And we need a little resistance, you know. We need a little heat to get us to move forward.
So I believe you're going to read a poem for us today. And let's read one now at the end of our wonderful conversation with Maureen McDowell, who is a poet, an artist, a writer, and just an inspired woman who makes St. Pete a great place to live.
Wow. That was lovely. Thank you.
Which book are you reading
from? Let's see.
From?
I'm going to read from Feast, because that's the one we have talked about. And let's see. I think I'm going to read Iris's. It's a little longer. Is that okay?
Sure.
We have time? Okay.
We always have time for you, Maureen.
So this is called a list poem. So it each section starts with a number. So Iris's. 1. This poem was supposed to say everything. It would be the balm to heal all our hurt. It would seal the divide in our country and stitch together our grievances. Poetry is that powerful. Do you believe me? You know you want to. You do. 2. We are all walking around wounded. Some people's wounds are louder and brighter than others. They are flags attempting to claim their sovereignty, but sometimes they only announce their hate. I want to ask those who wave flags of intolerance, why are you letting the monster grow within you? Don't you know if you feed it, you give it life? You then become the monster. The monster is not outside you, it is you. 3. Let me be clear. There isn't one right way to live, but the iris whispers faith, wisdom, hope, and valor are good places to start. 4. You fear getting comfortable. There's a guilt that wasn't there before. You know you must do something. You love your country. You now feel like a refugee. The scenery has changed. Your country is living a story that you wouldn't write, let alone read. The great god of fate has said, set change. Everyone now needs new costumes when you were just getting comfortable in your own. 5. The iris was named after the ancient Greek goddess Iris. Her rainbow robes were said to connect heaven to earth. If only she could come to us now and transform our frustration and fear into the colors of love. 6. There are many people more vulnerable than you. You know this. You are not special, but you are kind. You are a good parent. You give back to the community in every way you know how. This has to be enough. This poem has to be enough, because it's the best that I could do for you right now.
That's, excuse me, Maureen McDowell, poet. Thank you, Maureen.